Welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on a Thursday, and our weekly visit from Mr. Matt Shook, who I'm going to assume that you've been covering a plethora of things this week. I'm going to start with the Pistons. They went with some of their regulars last night as opposed to their first preseason game. Griffin played, Jackson played, pretty much everybody who's going to play in the regular season played last night, Matt, and a nice comeback in the second half to beat the Dallas Mavericks for what it's worth.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised about the minutes, like you mentioned, that those guys got. But I think that they'll maybe spur that down a little bit next week. As you know, we're still 2 weeks out from the season. There's only five games preseason, but it's still a decent amount of time. So I do think that they'll kind of rest them a little bit. What I thought was real interesting from last night's game is the fact that they went with a lineup that you know, is an interesting one when you got Blake and Andre, obviously, in the front court. And then you got Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose playing together on the court in that third quarter with Luke Kennard out there. Now, that's a lot of guys who are offensive options and a lot of guys who struggle individually defensively. So I thought that that was probably the main reason why all those guys' minutes were up, because Dwayne Casey wanted to get that group out there, that five-man unit, to see what kind of damage they could do and to maybe get them to start gelling, because that could be a group that, while not the starting group and shouldn't be the starting group, it might be the closing group. That might be the fourth quarter group, the end of game type of situation, especially you know, if they're needing to come back a little bit and needing more offense than defense. So I thought that was interesting, and it obviously worked out really well last night in the third quarter against Dallas.
Well, and that's been a Piston problem in the past, is they do fine all game long, and then at the end when they absolutely need a score, they can't ever seem to get it. And part of it is I think their offense stagnates sometimes, or just one guy will hold the ball out at the top and wait and wait and wait and then force up a shot, as opposed to having five guys that whoever's got the basketball is a threat to score. I like that a lot better than the old way.
Yeah, I think that the offense that you just described, a lot of times what happens for every team or a lot of teams in the NBA, and the Pistons are no different than that. And last year when you had Blake Griffin, who was very clearly the best offensive player on this team, and he still is. But like you said, I think that when you have the options of Luke Kennard being a guy who can run a pick and roll, Derrick Rose being a guy who can run a pick and roll and penetrate a little bit himself as well, Reggie Jackson being a guy who's a proven spot-up shooter now, which might be his new role with Derrick Rose alongside at times together at court, and then Andre kind of running some runs and all cleaning up some garbage as well. I think that they could be more potential, like you said, as far as being a more dynamic offense and not just Blake Griffin putting his butt down and bullying someone down to the post and throwing up a shot that may or may not get a foul call for him. So there could be more offenses or more offensive options, and it could be a little bit more cleaner of a game to watch for fans too.
The second unit is going to be different for the Pistons. And number one, there's no Ish Smith this year. But who are some important guys here? Morris, Thon Maker, who else is going to make the second unit go?
Yeah, we saw Derrick Rose and Kennard came together. Both of the preseason games so far, they kind of enter the game together there. And I know it's preseason, so who knows what the real rotations will look like. But I anticipate that those guys will play a lot together, especially in that second quarter. And, yeah, those guys you mentioned aren't great options offensively, but they're able to, you know, Markieff Morris is shot up a little bit, and Thon Maker in the past has shown some seasons the ability to knock down threes. Obviously, he struggled at times, most notably in the playoffs and the end of last season as well. So I think that the second unit will rely a lot on Rose and Kennard pick and rolls with various bigger players. But I think another player that we've seen so far in these first two preseason games, and a guy that a lot of people were excited about seeing, and he's fulfilled those expectations, is Christian Wood. I think he's a guy who's solidified his on the roster. I don't know how the Pistons are going to make that spot for him, if that means Joe Johnson's going to be gone right away, or if the Pistons are going to try to make a trade of a Langston Galloway, Tyree Thomas, Fee Mikhailiuk type, or possibly just cut one of those guys outright if they aren't able to find a deal. But I do think that Christian Wood, it would be organizational malpractice if they weren't able to find a way for this guy to make the 15-man roster and stick around with the Pistons. He's an active guy. He scores around the basket. He can knock down a jump shot. And especially when you're looking at a future of a questionable nature for Andre Drummond, who's going to be a free agent in all likelihood this coming summer, they're going to need Christian Wood and guys like that who could be rotational players in the post going forward, as well as being a backup center option this season.
Obviously, number one is staying healthy here in the preseason. But what else are they trying to accomplish here?
I think getting Derrick Rose fit in with everybody. I mean, Blake Griffin is obviously, you know, the best player on this team, and is such an alpha with the locker room. Not in a negative way, but obviously Derrick Rose coming at the pedigree and the history that he has and the accomplishments that he's had earlier on in his career. I think that they're going to find a way to match on the court. Like I said, the fit with Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard is probably the most important thing, because those are two guys you're expecting a lot out of this year. And then, like I said, the other most important thing is you got to make a decision at the end of the roster. And we've seen that with the NFL. That's pretty much the only reason that preseason exists in the NFL, other than sell tickets, is that you got to gauge the 51st, the 52nd, the 53rd man on the roster, make those kind of decisions, figure out who your G League guys are going to be, those kind of things. And I think as the preseason continues and wind down in the next week, I think you're going to see more of those kind of decisions being made. Joe Johnson getting a little bit of run. They held out of last night's game, and we'll kind of see how that's handled going forward. So, yeah, I think that those are the more important things this next week or so.
Besides Luke Kennard, of the younger players on the Pistons, who do you think will be the most improved this season?
Younger players improved, I'm going to go with Svi. Svi Mykhailiuk is a guy who hasn't gotten a lot of minutes, obviously, in his rookie season last year. And it seems like from the preseason rotation and all we've seen, Svi Mykhailiuk is a step ahead of Khyri Thomas in terms of entering that rotation and getting that spot. He's a guy who not only is he probably the Pistons' best standstill shooter, even better than Luke Kennard, maybe Tony Snell and him could vie for that best shooter standing in the corner type of guy. But I think Svi Mykhailiuk brings the dynamic of a pick-and-roll player, a guy who's crafty with the ball offensively as well. And I think that he could be someone who gets some burn this season, and I think he will kind of be at the back end of that second unit as a guy who's going to step up. The question, obviously, with him is, can he play defense? I mean, he's not very strong. He's not very quick. And that'll be the question on him. And especially given the fact that that's a second unit that doesn't play a lot of defense in general. Unfortunately, the Pistons just don't have a lot of guys other than, you know, Bruce Brown and Tony Snell to a lesser extent. Those bangers that just play really good defense, it's not really the type of roster that Jack McCloskey would have built way back in the day. But I think there's a lot of potential there with Svee offensively and a couple other guys like Christian Wood, where, you know, there could be a second unit that doesn't stall out in the second quarter like they did so many times last year.
Just a general observation the last few years, the way the NBA has gone, even the good defensive teams don't really play defense until the fourth quarter anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that the rules dictate the game these days, it's hard to have those Dennis Rodman, Ben Wallace types and guys that bother you on the perimeter as much as possible. But I think, you know, Bruce Brown showed enough last year as a rookie that he might be a potential all-defensive player throughout the league going forward. So, you know, he's someone the Pistons fans can rally around if they're yearning for the glory days, the going to work and bad boys eras.
All right. The Lions have been relaxing for the last week or so. They've got a Monday night game coming up in Green Bay, Matt. Should I start taking the Lions seriously, or do I have to wait and find out what happens in Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, they've probably done enough so far to earn the right to be taken seriously, but we do know about the history of this organization, and there's no reason to begrudge a fan or a certain radio host in Port Huron to think of them as waiting for more evidence, because it's been 60 years and all that stuff. So I can't blame anyone for not jumping on board and taking kind of a wait-and-see approach. But just like last time out against Kansas City, if you go on the road in Green Bay, and obviously if you get a win or even stay in the game late into the fourth quarter, I think that's a nice accomplishment and more evidence that this is a team to be taken seriously with for the second half of the season.
I think I was looking at it before last weekend's games, but at that point, the NFC North was the only division in football where every team had a winning record. Is this all of a sudden the toughest division in football, and did that kind of sneak up on people?
Yeah, I think it is. Definitely so far, like you said, that's still by far the best record. And then you just have four formidable teams that, you know, could be playoff teams. I think that all four of these teams could talk themselves into saying that they can win this division this year. And then the way that Green Bay's played so far this year, they look like a team who could be a Super Bowl contender with their potential on defense, their added running game, and of course we know all about Aaron Rodgers. The question is, for some of those teams, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, Kirk Cousins, are those guys able to sustain a certain level of play at the quarterback position to take you where you want to go? Obviously, those are two very good defenses, especially in Chicago. But yeah, this is a tough division, and the Lions certainly have an uphill climb, but they've got an opportunity on Monday night. We'll see if they're able to show up for that national TV game.
How is it that guys like Rodgers and Brady just keep doing it? How do they stay healthy enough to keep doing it? And why aren't they losing a step in their game?
Yeah, I think that the organizations have helped them out by investing into the run game. And we see that the Lions are trying to do that with Kerryon Johnson and the investments they've made on the offensive line. So really, you know, we think of Aaron Rodgers in 2011 and 2014 and all these great seasons that he's had over the years. But we're going to watch him on Monday night, and he's going to be a little bit more of a role player. I know that seems strange because it's Aaron Rodgers and it's the quarterback position. But Aaron Jones is the guy who kind of makes that offense go right now. They've, like I said, they've made some investments in the offensive line, and they're a running team right now. So the same thing with Tom Brady at times these past couple seasons. Same thing with Matthew Stafford with the Lions. These are guys that, you know, at some points in their career were throwing the ball 40 times and getting 5,000 yards a season, but you know they're asked to do less and less, which is a good thing because obviously they're still lethal and still able to make all the throws you want them to make. So yeah, it's going to be a different kind of Aaron Rodgers than you're used to, and Aaron Jones might be the guy that beats them on Monday night.
All right, tomorrow night is a big night in the Blue Water area, so I'm going to take you back a couple of years to our old
sure.
Friday Night Lights.
We've got
5-1 Port Huron High going up against 5-1 Port Huron Northern. We've got 6-0 St. Clair against 6-0 Marine City. And over in the BWAC, 6-0 Elmont plays at 6-0 Richmond. All those games are at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. This is clearly the best weekend of the regular season. Your thoughts on covering the Big Reds Huskies game or the Saints-Mariners game, because I know you probably did both when you were working at the paper?
That was my first thought, is that I'd be mad at the MHSAA and the conferences for scheduling all three of those games on the same weekend. I'd be irritated. And what it would be is probably me and Jim Weimer and Rick Jakacki back in the day and Paul Costanzo, we would all probably sit there and argue over who's going to cover these games. So we'd probably draw straws. I don't remember exactly how we decided. I think Jim kind of had final say. But yeah, Memorial Stadium or down in East China, that's a tough one. I would probably just go with Port Huron just because, you know, you can walk over there. It's a little bit of an easier drive from the office. Because let's be honest, I mean, on a Friday night back with those tight deadlines, obviously we wanted to see good football. We enjoyed being out there on a Friday night. But the other thing to keep in mind is you want to get your story done by deadline. So if you got to drive up from East China all the way to downtown Port Huron, I know it's not a far drive, but if you add that 15 minutes, that's it's going to make your story a little bit tougher, especially if you get a lightning delay or the game goes slowly or you get an overtime situation or something like that. So I'm going to cop out in your answer and say, because I don't want to choose between, you know, the East China Bowl and then the Crosstown Showdown. They're two great rivalries that I enjoyed being at. Like you said, I've been at, I'm sure, a couple at least of each of those games over the years. So I'm going to cop out and say only Port Huron because it's a lot closer. But, yeah, I mean, nothing like a big high school football game on a Friday night against your rival when both teams are having great seasons. So I'm excited for the fans of the Blue Water area. And like I said, like I'm hearing, maybe I'll talk to Darius Slay today. Sounds like he's entertaining the thought of making his way to Memorial Stadium on Friday night as well. So we'll see if that happens too.
Yeah, he was apparently looking for a game to go to, and people were tweeting to him, telling him where he should go, and he had it narrowed down to a couple of different places, including the Northern Big Red game. There's never been a season, Matt, where they've both made the playoffs the same year. Whoever wins Friday night is in the playoffs, and the other team will just need one more win in the last 2 weeks for that to happen. And not only that, but there's the opportunity this year that they might even actually face each other at some point in the playoffs, and I just think that would be amazing.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. And then you throw in the other aspect that you got, you know, a guy heading to the University of Michigan next year that everyone's keeping their eye on. So, you know, recruiting websites are posting the videos of the tackles that Braden McGregor makes and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the Blue Water area. I was up there for 4 years. It seemed like longer than that because, you know, it was a time of my life where everything kind of slowed down back in your early 20s. Back now, everything just kind of zooms by when you're my age now, as you know. But, you know, it's not a great sporting area. You know, the Detroit area, you get to Macomb and you play the De La Salles of the world and you lose in the playoffs, or you go in basketball and go play a Flint area team in regionals and lose there. But to have the Blue Water area have those kind of teams that not only are winning, you know, MAC White championships, MAC Gold championships, BWAC championships and all that stuff, but you're able to make those deep runs in the playoffs, that's really exciting. And I think that that is a testament to all the folks that have put in work to build those high school programs over the years across the realm in every sport. There's a million names of coaches and athletic directors, trainers that helped out the young kids, and the people that put in the investment, and of course the athletes themselves who put in the investment and the time. And it's just, you know, as someone who can't say enough good things about the Blue Water area to people who I've met around the country and around the world over these last 10, 15 years, it's really exciting for me to be able to hear those stories and to get ready to talk to you next week about what happened in those games.
All right, good stuff. Tell everybody about the website and the podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Pistons, we're going full throttle right now. We talked about the lineup of death. We had George Blaha on Monday's podcast. We got other guests lined up for the upcoming weeks. It's basketball season. I love the download numbers so far. Everyone's back on board. And until proven otherwise, you can get excited about the Pistons until that first five-game losing streak hits, and maybe you won't listen to Locked On Pistons. But find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you get podcasts, you can find Locked On Pistons.
All right, great stuff. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show on WPHM.